Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Gestalten Podcast. My name, and as always, is Martin Groschwald. And this week we are at Nissan's design studio in San Diego and having a lovely conversation with David Woodhouse. Now, David is a very distinguished figure, not just in California, but also, of course, in the US design industry, because he is one of the very few people who have worked both in the UK slash in Europe, in Detroit, as well as in California. So we will be exploring a little bit what Californian design is compared to Detroit, compared to Europe, of course, as well, what it makes so livable, and of course, the role of an American studio within such a vast organization such as Nissan. So enjoy the next roughly about an hour with myself and David Woodhouse. Hello, David.
Hey, Martin.
It's great to see you. And thank you very, very much for giving me the opportunity to come down to San Diego, because obviously I've been here a few times already, but this is still, I mean, we had that conversation a few times before, one of the most beautiful studios, and I think just one of the most coolest places in terms of car design in general. So thank you for allowing me to like record this with you over here. And it's an absolute pleasure for you to be on the podcast. So thanks for doing this already.
No, it's good to see you here. So thanks for this opportunity.
Lovely. So I told you this before. The reason why I wanted to talk to you and have you as part of the series is you're a little bit of a unique person when it comes to car design in California, because you're one of the very few people in terms of management as well that have worked both here as well as in Michigan, and also you've done Europe as well. So you've seen those massive hubs globally.
Yeah, it's 33 years in the industry this year, which shocks me. You know, it's flown by, so I've enjoyed every part of it. But you're right, I look back now, my career, you know, has been in the major automotive hubs, so Munich sometime, obviously Coventry, the Midlands in the UK, Detroit and California. So yeah, I always feel torn between, I'd say, three worlds in a way, you know, two or three worlds, yeah.
What makes California, California when you compare it to the other places, in particular, of course, Europe, Michigan? What stands out and what is maybe something you still haven't understood after all these years?
Yeah, so I mean, I was always drawn to California from being a kid. I think, you know, anyone in the West who grows up, you grow up with movies and entertainment and TV. And of course, so much of it is influenced by California, right? Hollywood and the movie industry. So I think it always held a massive fascination for me when I was young. And it was always a dream. You know, it was literally the California dream to come here. So I remember, you know, coming on vacations when I was in my 20s, and it was always like, wow, you know, I'd love to work here. I never thought it would be quite possible or that might happen, but you know, I am a believer that these things that you think about and you want, you desire, you can actually make happen in your life. So yeah, it was just a thrill to have the opportunity, I think, in 2002 to come out to California for the first time. So I've had two stints here, literally, and there must be something very magnetic about the place to draw me back for a second time, right? So yeah, to me, it's a dream. I love being in this place.
What makes a difference for you to be here? Like, what's, you know, you obviously mentioned the historic and, you know, your personal kind of emotional past with it as well. But now that you live here, you've come here a couple of times, of course, for work as well. What makes a difference compared to other places?
I think the first draw is of course, we're looking out here now and the blue skies. There's something very innate about that. Sunshine and positivity. I mean, I think a lot of California, it is the perfect human environment. I don't think there's a better place to live in the world. So, yeah, so something emanates from the weather, firstly. And, you know, that does have certain practical benefits. I mean, even viewing models out in the courtyard outside all year round, you know, we're not stuck inside for 6 months that you would be in Michigan, for example, right? But, you know, of course, it goes much deeper than that. It goes into talent, recruitment, art center being here in Pasadena, obviously tech, you know, and Silicon Valley. And then on another level, you've got, you know, some nostalgia of California for me, you know, Beach Boys and James Dean and all this kind of thing. So there is an innate car culture here that is so strong, as you know. Every Saturday, there's cars and coffees up and down the coast. That's pretty amazing in itself, this very rich, strong car culture. But then I'm always fascinated with balancing that out with the green and sustainability. So as you know, California, you know, this is the leader in emissions regulation, setting the standards for the world, literally, as the example, especially in automotive. So I always find that amazing that you've got on this other side, you've got the nostalgia elements, but then on the other flip side, you've got tech and high tech and future sci-fi, modernism, and all of those future push, you know, that we need so much. And I think that's really, those two aspects are just so important to designers, you know?
Yeah. How does this compare with your time in Michigan? Because it's obviously, we talked about it, it's almost like, you know, sunny here 365 days a year. Michigan actually has seasons. Yeah. So you have the winter, you have the fall, you have the spring, and you have a certain kind of summer, of course, as well. But in terms of creativity, in terms of adoption of culture, all these kind of things, where's the biggest difference? Because we obviously see, you know, products that are more based on the context of they could only be made in California, and some others are maybe more Midwest based and all these things. But where's the biggest difference for you from your personal experience where you say, like, this is what always stuck to my mind?
Yeah, from personal experience, I would say it was actually, you know, my time in Michigan, I was in the center of the company. And I think you can't beat that. I mean, with satellites, there's always issues. It's always, as you know, good and bad, that, you know, you have independence away from the mothership, but there's always a lot of difficulty with that as well. You've got to embrace it and enjoy it. But it's also fantastic to be at the where the pebble hits the pond in a company. You know, that's where you really get things done. So that directness of connection with leadership in a company for design studios, you know, is very important. And that was the greatest benefit, I would say, in the situation in Michigan, was being in the heart of the company.
And culturally, do you think that's, let me be a little bit of devil's advocate here, yeah? There's always the argument you can only do a certain kind of environment, because that's where you have to understand it, call it pickup trucks. And, you know, the environment, what you mentioned in terms of sustainability for EVs is in California better. That's why you could do it here. Is that an argument, or is that just always like pushed into the front to say, like, well, we have a reason to be here?
No, it is a truth. Definitely the place that you're in has a big influence on the type of product that you generate. And for sure, you know, being in the Midwest, it's a different outlook to being here. Yeah. And, you know, and you could see that, you know, very clearly with the adoption of Teslas. You'd come to Orange County and they're everywhere. You know, I mean, it was the first place that really, really adopted them. So it's very clear, but you've got to have both. I mean, that's the truth. You know, what is it? This is the fifth biggest GDP in the world, $4 trillion or something a year. It's still the biggest market, the biggest profit-making market in the world. And for any auto manufacturer, you've got to understand the whole country. You know, not just the coasts where the trend adoption first starts, but the middle of the country, the rural aspects, all of America. You've got to know it all.
Now, you are currently with a company called Nissan, which is a very global company as well. How, and it's obviously one of the oldest studios here as well. So one of the oldest.
Yeah, we were the second OEM on the West Coast, would you believe? The studio has been here for, the building has been here for 40 years. The team has been here for 45.
Yeah.
So that's pretty significant. Back then, there were literally two OEMs on the West Coast. Now I think we count 26 studios up and down the coast, and that's not including the little tech offices, you know, in Silicon Valley.
Yeah. So how do you think the studio is now of importance? Because you obviously have the market situation what we just discussed. Like, yeah, you have to understand the market. On the other hand, you also mentioned California as this creative force, also culturally probably. Yeah. How does this mix together in this new environment that we're having right now with everything constantly changing, but at the same time, well, we need to produce something as well. That's because you guys are in a very fine line that a lot of the other studios don't have that are more advanced based or anything. So how important is that for you and how to balance it in the best possible way?
Yeah, so the studio is very special and very unique in a way. It's, I think, one of the few satellites on the West Coast that we do everything. We do a range of output from upstream to downstream, everything in between. We're involved in global competitions, providing work back to the studio in Atsuki, Japan. And we also have our own remit of responsibility on product that are uniquely American, like Frontier and Titan. So we deliver Class A surface release from the studio. So that's a pretty broad spectrum of workload that we deal with. But yeah, talking about, you know, the relevance of a satellite in California these days, it's so globalized now, right? And as you know, the talent pool of the world and the pull of the talent and where they go, what they do. So Art Center, for example, you know, we'll have years where it's a huge input of Korean talent. Another year will be a huge input of Chinese talent, you know, designers coming through Art Center. So you have to look at, you know, where do they come to train? Where do they go when they leave? And of course, the draw of a studio here is to spend time in California. It's to tap into the network. So, you know, we're very lucky at Nissan. We've got Global Design Center in Japan. We've got an outpost studio in Shanghai. We've got a fantastic studio at NDE in Europe. And we've got this studio here and a smaller outpost in South America as well. So I think you've got to look at it as a global network of talent and how you deploy the talent, how you attract it, and how you use it across the whole network, right?
Yeah. And do you sometimes have a feeling that people don't want to leave anymore because it's just such a nice place and, you know, it allows for also a certain kind of freedom? Because whenever I'm here, I really have that kind of feeling of just to say, like, well, I want to come back. I get something here, you know, I go for a walk in the morning and you go onto the beach and you see the sun and it gives you a certain kind of power that if we compare that to maybe Tokyo or even London, don't necessarily have. Now, this can be good and this can be bad. Yeah, this has all these kind of different notions to it as well. So what do you feel about to keep the people motivated and pushing, of course, as well?
It's different inputs, isn't it? So, and it should be that the designers feed off that and they create different output accordingly, right? I mean, that's what it should all be about. As you say, urban, you know, being downtown in Tokyo, the feeling and what you'd see on the streets and the type of products and solutions you could imagine would be very different to being here. So I think for sure, all designers should be healthy and hungry, and they should thrive off different environments. And yeah, of course, everyone's an individual. Some people want to stay, of course, when they come here. But I think, you know, young designers especially, it's really good for them to move around and move maybe before they're comfortable to move and get a new experience. And you know, they should be tapping into that and feeding off it. And that should be, they should be bringing that out in the work that they generate.
Yeah. What I would be very interested to get a little bit of an insight from you is this mix between the creativity and the production factor. Because if we look into California a little bit, there's more advanced studios, creative studios that then hand over work and it's going to be done somewhere else. How do you balance that? Because that's also a question of course, experience of the people, knowing how to bring a car into production. And we have this massive range here of full creativity, then all the way to production. How do you manage that in terms of the talent, in terms of the people, in terms of the development of the people as well? Because you can't just, like in Germany, say like, well, if one person works for company XYZ, then I'll take them and I know they can do a production car. That is less likely here. So how does this impact you on a day-to-day level / on a development level as well?
I can comment from our perspective here, but of course it could be very different in another company. It's very interesting for me over my career that now I look back and I can see, you know, the design trends at different times, Martin. And, you know, when I was beginning, I think we were on the back of, you know, the 70s and 80s of very efficient designs. And, you know, when I was starting in the 90s, we were in search of more character. We were looking back, you know, retrofuturism. We were looking back to the 60s to imbue or get a stronger sense of character in the work that we were developing. Today, you know, what's very exciting for me is, you know, I always feel and great push from Alfonso towards us is always, you know, to be as creative as we can be. And I think that is fantastic for any design team, but that makes a great influence on how we go about our work and what we do. Timelines are much shorter these days, you know, the pressure to get the most creative output you can in a shorter time. So, you know, it's probably a harder time for creatives than 20, 30, 40 years ago. But of course, it's a time to relish that push, right?
You've mentioned you came to California first time in the early 2000s. This was obviously the time when companies like Tesla started off as well. You know, that was, I think, 2005, 2006, back then partially in the UK, but then they started off here. Now, you have a before and after, it almost seems like. You know, this Tesla's here, they produce here, and before that it was a lot about the creativity in itself, in that sense. Have you seen any changes in the designers, in the schools, in the mindset when somebody like Tesla comes in, produces here, and brings in like a new enthusiasm almost like into the industry? Because I spoke to a few people now and it seems like, oh, you know, in this late 90s, early 2000s, it was almost dead here. It was kind of accepted that the studios are there, but they needed to be reinvigorated a little bit. And with that kind of Tesla topic and the EVs, there was almost like much more of a push again to have design here and take it seriously as well. Do you have that feeling as well? Did you feel that, or did you have a different kind of direction?
Yeah, for sure. I remember very distinctly, you know, when their first, not the little sports car, but when their first proper car came out, it was interesting for me to note that it was all the designers I knew took that very seriously and thought this was the future. Internally, in a lot of companies, I think it was very easily dismissed at the time that this would not survive, this would not continue. So you have to give them great credit for the revolution in BEV, in electric vehicles. It's changed everything. And I think you're right to point that out, that point of Tesla, you know, succeeding as you were from a product perspective, probably changed the perspective back to California, because I think there was suddenly a much stronger look to Silicon Valley, to tech, that these things could only come from here and only be adopted here first. And, you know, and then look at the influence that's had on regulation and the outlook for the future. So yeah, absolutely, I would say it did put a focus back to California for sure.
And how important is the tech industry for you now, or like, you know, in the last 5 years? How big of an influence does, you know, Alfonso say to you, for example? It's like, hey, you have the Silicon Valley here. You know, how do you see design differently as, for example, in Tokyo or even at NDE, just because you have it here and it's kind of omnipresent as well. And it's extremely quickly implemented, I would say, as well. The day-to-day usage of stuff that is new is unbelievably quick here.
Yeah, we you know, Nissan, we have the studio down here in Southern California. And in Silicon Valley, we have a very talented team with very large foreheads and big brains and creating lots of very interesting things. So it's always fascinating to tap into them and see what's going on and what they're looking at. And of course, you know, it's all about finding what's the new greatest thing, how are we going to adapt, especially HMI, moving forward. So yeah, we've had the revolution in battery electric vehicles. We've had this revolution on the inside of the vehicles with the screens. And, you know, we are in this time of this arms race of screen size. So it's always fascinating to me. Is it just going to keep going and keep going? What are you putting on the screens? What, you know, are they entertainment or are they functional? Or is there a turning point, mm-hmm. you know, that gets rid of them again? And I think this will only happen with technology. It's going to be the adaption of technology that will transform the interiors again at some point in the future. So we have to keep a finger on it and a mind towards that all the time and see what's going on.
How are your young designers feeling about that? Obviously, you know, the technology pushes, you know, you have your iPhones or like your smartphones all the time, but then at the same time you have, you know, products here like a Singer, you have the classic cars and everything, which is then fully reduced, almost going back to analog as well. How are your young designers looking at this? And then how are you, because I know you're an avid fan of like classic cars as well, when you see that difference, that must be like, you know, a crazy back and forth all the time.
I mean, car designers, I think in their heart, are all car enthusiasts, right? I mean, so they bring a lot of passion to the subject always. So I don't see any change on that perspective. The gap to their generation out in the public is what concerns me, whether their enthusiasm supersedes the reality of the actual customer. So maybe the gap between the specialist car designer who's an enthusiast to actually their generation, who perhaps are not that interested in cars, more than any time in the past, Martin. So that really intrigues me. And of course, that's a growing divide. So you're ending up with like, how do you satisfy these people that really don't have innate automotive interests? What are the things about a product that would get them interested, that they would find appealing and would help their life? It throws up more questions, right, about what we should be doing.
Yeah. So what's your opinion on this? Because I want to jump into this because I saw recently, I think it was a Nissan Japan, they took the Tokyo show car, the non-GTR GTR, if I want to say so. They took it to one of the biggest car meets up in Tokyo, and they presented it there. So to kind of go into that divide of like old versus new and get people involved in this as well. How do you see this possible over here? Because it's almost similar. You have this full tech side, you have the full classic car side as well. What do the designers need to do to combine this together and, like, you know, create those products that are becoming emotionally connected again?
I think it's very hard for car companies because, you know, the bottom line is we've got to make profit and we've got to sell lots of volume. But as much as we can, we need to tap into unique propositions. So there's always this query investigation in my mind about what is unique and special, but then inevitably it can be niche. So that's no good because we've got to sell a lot of cars. So how special can you be? What character, what ingredients, what USPs can you adopt that are unique in character but still mainstream in terms of volume? So I do get really intrigued by events like the Japan Classic Car Show up in Long Beach. I try and get there every year. For me, I'm in the older white gray-haired generation, you know, judge at Pebble Beach and race old cars and love that world. But when I go to the Japan Classic Car Show, it's mind-blowing for me because I see, you know, much younger generations, much more diverse. And the product that they get interested in there is super entertaining. I mean, it's just fascinating. But yeah, it's always this question to me about how special can you be, how characterful can you be, but still provide a proposition to a big company like Nissan that is going to move volume, you know?
And then obviously locally as well.
And locally, yeah.
What's your take on the international side of the studio? So like, you know, having a core team of Americans versus then people from all over the world interpreting what California is, maybe also what the US is all about, and having that kind of necessity of connecting that a little bit. So it sounds always a little bit silly when I say it, but most of the design leaders here in California are not from the US.
Yeah,
I would say it's like 80, 85, 90% are from Europe most of the time, or like, you know, even some of them are from South America, but there's very few Americans.
Yeah, I'm a case in point, right? Yeah, I mean, it's a globalized world, and our team here, you know, is very diverse in some respects, not diverse in others. But we, you know, we have a great contingent of Korean and Chinese designers in the team. And that's just inevitable. That's the talent pool coming through the colleges and universities that are feeding us. So that's what it is. That's what the people that we get. I think it's a good thing. It's a good thing that outsiders come to a place and perhaps they can see more clearly because of a different background that they've had than people that have been raised here who just think, take it for granted and think that it's normal. So I think, you know, for sure myself coming to America, I can see what is uniquely American about product, I think, clearer than an American.
Yeah.
I would argue that, yeah.
So how is that? Has that changed for you? Like when you were in Michigan, like what an American product is compared to like, so now that you've been here a couple of times in your career, what maybe a Californian product is? Or is there even like an American product and, you know, still?
Well, I think, you know, yes, there is. We have segments which are unique to here, right? The full size trucks and the full size SUVs that they don't really sell anywhere else in the world, right?
Yeah, we don't have them in Europe.
bigger is better, you know, big people, big families, big country, big roads. Everything serves that product, right? So, yeah, the pickup truck is uniquely American. And I think it really is quintessentially represents this country in so many ways. But then, of course, yeah, I would cite the example. We did a little concept, you know, a couple of years ago now, Surf Out, the Surf Out concept, which we, you know, showed digitally. That concept, in my mind, perfectly represents the development or evolution of PU pickup to something more compact, BEV, more urban. And we definitely, I don't know if you remember it, but we definitely picked upon surfer culture as the inspiration for that, you know, hence the name. But the adaptability of that product and the flexibility and what it could do and what it could provide to the customer, I think was very special and was very pertinent to a life here of what we see and observe. So observational research, you know, we get our designers to go out, watch and see what's going on. They did some interviews with surfers, literally, and studied, you know, their typical day, how they'd go about it and what they did. And this product was, like, perfect for that. But I would say not beyond just surfers. I mean, this is a product, I think, that would serve a lot of people in a not typical rural but a more urban situation.
Yeah. How, for you as a designer personally, how has it changed to be here with all this influence that you get over here? If you look back a little bit historically, you know, time in the UK, Germany, and then, you know, coming over to the US, what has shaped you the most by being here? Is it the pure creativity, like, you know, or the attitude, the can-do attitude, but also like, you know, other aspects such as tech, entertainment, just open up a little bit more towards that? What do you think has shaped you the most? And what is it that you would also tell, let's say, your young team, say, look out for this. Like, you know, not just be narrow-minded, but look at other things as well that you can only do here and maybe not anywhere else because there's so much more present.
Yeah, I think you come back to the place, the positivity. California, you know, is still one of the more liberal states. So that can-do mentality, openness, the freedom of being here, the push on legislation and the future, green, sustainable, efficiency, doing the right thing for the environment. I think there's a whole lot of very unique aspects that can be drawn upon and definitely have an influence. Personally, you know, you can't be in two places at once, Martin. And it's hard for me to differentiate between the environment and the people. You know, it's all about people at the end of the day. So, of course, I look back over a career of some great leaders I've been exposed to, the people I've worked with. And I think, of course, I think they probably have the biggest influence of anything. But yeah, outside of that, I just think it's been, in my career, it's just been really good to move around, you know, get an experience in Germany, get an experience in Detroit, the UK and California, and just understand nationalistic traits and differences of how you work and hopefully draw upon, you know, the best of all of it.
Yeah. Looking a little bit into the future, if we look into the next 5-10 years, what do you see in terms of Californian car design culture, development, potentially also education, you know, whichever. What do you see as the biggest advantages where they can really excel and continue the step up the game? Because we are in one of the top three hubs for car design in this world. Yeah. So what do you see as the big pros for this to develop even further to maybe even become the biggest one in the world? But also, what do you see as challenges, something that maybe hinders them or like holds them back to get to that kind of level and raise, I would say, the importance within the bigger companies as well, because we should never underestimate this. Like, yeah, there's a lot of satellites here. So what else, you know, do we need to do to develop it further? But what are these kind of pros and challenges that you see and observe?
Yeah, on the pros, I think, you know, we are in a state of revolution in the automotive industry. It's been happening for a while, but it's going to continue. Electrification, what that means to architectures and platforms. You know, I always think of automotive design as a Darwinian kind of evolution of the species. And this has been a very big fundamental change that's occurred. And it's still being played out. We haven't seen yet everything that means to, you know, high package, low package, product that perhaps have existed in the past that can't exist again in the future. And the evolution of products in accordance with, you know, what's needed for electrification. So that's a big change that's going on right now. And we're all dealing with that.
Yeah.
Package and architecture. On the interiors, of course, HMI, the screens, as I said, the arms race of screens. And is that just going to keep going, or is there going to be some big fundamental change in that? So those things are really important. And then of course, autonomous driving, it's kind of stalled a little bit, but is that going to pick up again? Is that going to have like significant effects on the generation now that maybe don't want cars, don't want to drive, don't want ownership? That's going to be a big, big deal. So all of that is going on. I think California is still, the adoption and generation of tech can only happen here. I really believe, you know, the first adoption of it and the push towards it from policy and government. So that's all there. And that's, I think, a pro for California and what's going to happen in the future. On the other side, the questions, I think, are, I mean, firstly, in my mind, you know, the thing on everyone's mind at the moment is AI.
Yeah.
What's that going to mean to our jobs, our lives, our driving, everything? I mean, it's so fundamental. The talent pool, human skills, what's life going to mean in the future? You know, what things should we be training for? Is it craft and innovation and creativity? And then I think the other, you know, challenge is of course China.
Yeah.
And China product coming to the West. you know, in through maybe South America, yeah. and how are countries of the world going to respond to China products? You know, this is going to be really fascinating.
And what role do you see designers to play in that as well, in terms of challenges, probably, like, or challenging the status quo
context? You know, it's speed of response and creativity. It's just going to put a highlight on faster adoption and more creative output.
How important are the universities for you for that?
Oh, fundamental. I mean, you know, right now we've been in a state right here at Nissan Design America of rehiring, you know, getting new talent to us over the last 18 months. And we look to the local schools, and, you know, it's the lifeblood of any studio.
I find California a really interesting, like, hotbed in that sense, and a melting pot that is possible almost like only here, because you have this attitude of, we can do something, where it starts off. It's obviously not as, let's say, regulated as maybe China, Japan and Germany as well. But it seems to me that if you can start ideas here that you could potentially not do anywhere else. I mean, also, like, you know, say Cybertruck, do we think that could have come out of Japan? Well, it could have. Would have been the courage to do it? That's a different kind of story. If you're now obviously looking into this next generation of designers coming from the universities and everything that are here, but obviously you look into everywhere else in the world, what would you say to young kids over here, like, you know, the designers, like, that's what I need from you, like, you know, be brave, have this kind of capability, look around you as well, because that's what keeps, you know, the studio so strong over here. It almost seems to me that this idea of California studio can only live with that can-do push attitude, and it needs to represent it as well. Long story short on this, what is the role of the managers then for that as well? Because you want to foster that kind of experience, but it's also for a lot of people very difficult to grasp that you can have this can-do attitude, this kind of challenge everything. And, you know, you've lived in Europe, you've had your experience obviously with Japan, you have your experience with Michigan as well, where everything is a little bit more regulated. So what role does your generation of management, future leadership, of course, play as well to allow for this creativity to happen and ideally also be brought to life?
Well, no, you've said it exactly. We have to mentor and push the young talent. And of course, talent comes out of school very raw. And the skill set has to be built. And all the time we're looking at, you know, faster tools, faster to a resolution, to 3D, to animations and movie making. So these are absolutely vital. But the manager's role has to be to help, you know, foster that talent, to mentor, to guide it, and to push. Mm-hmm. And I think the push has to come on the inputs, the inspiration to the creativity, Martin. So, yeah, the place that you're in, the things that are around you, you know, you've got to get out and about, you've got to see the customer, you've got to live the life, you've got to have those experiences. And it's living the life and bringing that to the work. You know, I personally, you know, I'm not a fan of the pure styling aspects. Mm-hmm. I'm a big proponent of designers having a bigger influence on brand, on a total vehicle proposition. So, you know, we're the ultimate people, talent pool to do that. You know, quite uniquely, we are the most creative, I would argue, in any automotive company, because, you know, you've got a huge corporation, developed around the delivery and the sales of product. So within that, we're a real anomaly, this little studio of creatives in every automotive company has an amazing ability to see the future, live in the future, and bring product to life that have not been imagined. You know, that's the push that has to be put upon new talent.
Yeah. I want to ask you something a little bit about your past on Lincoln as well. Because Lincoln is a very American brand, you know, it's not like Nissan, which is very global, but Lincoln is almost like fundamentally American. And I really can't remember any Lincolns in Europe, at least not in my lifetime. If you would go back, and I know that the studio, and it's still obviously here, it's in Irvine, it's in California. What makes the difference of something to do it over here in California compared to, let's say, in Michigan or in Detroit, to then say, like, you know, can we make a product that is more American, like in California or like, you know, in Detroit as well? Because that is a really interesting, you know, brand in its own, but it's so American. So what was that kind of feeling of like, yeah, we have to do it in California because we're maybe like, I don't know, more the pulls of time, or no, it has to come up in or it has to happen in Michigan as well. How was that done? Like, what was your feeling about those kind of things? Because we have this more and more. Yeah, we have a new GM studio happening here as well. Obviously Tesla seen as a brand. We had Rivian coming down from Michigan down here to Southern California as well. But you guys were almost the first to have that divide, if I want to say so.
Yes, I mean, going back to that time, a lot of the vision work when I came back to the brand was generated, would you believe, from London. but of course, I had, you know, I'd had time out here, you know, first time around, actually. So, you know, 10 years before. So I had a big kind of knowledge pool, you know, to sort of back up, to build upon for the vision work that then I took to Michigan. But during that time, we were still working very closely with the studio out here.
Yeah.
So, you know, there was always inputs and product propositions coming from the studio with oversight and input from Michigan as well. But yeah, I think, you know, it's time and a place that creates the insights. And I think, you know, living in America, you get to understand Americans and their usage of vehicles. And there are some very, very unique aspects, which, you know, I came to the conclusion that comfort and convenience, you know, there's a certain aspect of Americans that's perhaps you could, you know, the worst way you could say it is they're a little lazy. But the best part of that is it's, you know, revolutionized automobiles in their history, you know, from the adoption of electric windows and power hoods and even silly things like the first motorized wiper blades.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, all of these technologies in the past first appeared on American cars out of comfort and convenience.
Yeah.
And I think that still goes through everything. You know, at some level, the technology might change, but the use of the product and what Americans aspire to have and be given to them, I think that there's still an underlying approach to that, right?
That's very interesting. Now, are there levels to that in terms of not just the product, but also where it's done? You know, convenience, let's say, compared, you know, East Coast to the Midwest to California? Or do you think that's much more general approach to that as well? Because you've seen it now all, and convenience in London is very different than it is over here, for example.
Yeah, there are differences, and some of them are environmentally driven, weather, climate, you know, there's very little weather here. So, yeah, I mean, there are differences for sure, and also in taste and sensibilities.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's down to designers to chart the course and be really persistent, but also be very sensitive to find the nuances and the interests and the differences and bring them to life.
Yeah. I want to finish off with a question that I hope we can touch upon, because Nissan is a very global company, and we can argue that there's currently a trend where it's much more market-oriented products again, rather than the global approaches. I think global approaches only work for like the luxury spaces and those kind of topics as well. So when products are developed here, in particular in the studio here, of course, How important is the global perspective on something like this as well? Because you are competing, as you mentioned, globally as well. So the kind of viewpoint is, yeah, we are here, but we also have to understand, and some of our products could actually end up, stuff that we're doing here could end up in Japan, it could end up in Europe as well. So how important is that for the studio here as well? And what does the environment here with California and this kind of openness actually bring to that as well? Because for us, and I always give this example, for us in Europe to do a big pickup truck is almost like unimaginable, because we also just don't see them. The environment is not there. And it seems like in the context of Nissan, this is very interesting, because you are globally thinking, but then you also go deeply into the markets and probably have an impact on stuff in Europe and in Japan that comes from here, which is truly American.
Yeah, you could imagine it should, and it is, I think, a lot easier for the team here to do a new Titan or Frontier proposition than it is for us to make a new K car proposition. Having said that, you know, all designers should be able to do everything with the right inputs. But yeah, generalizing to California and the American market, there are aspects which I'm always pushing with the team to be more American, to be bigger, stronger, bolder in everything that we do than perhaps the propositions that would come from the other satellite studios. So that's very important to me. We have to imbue that sense of what's unique to this place. Absolutely, Martin. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just fascinating to me. I would love to see you guys doing a K car. That would be and just being communicated. It's like, oh, this comes out of America, and I was like, what? Where's that coming from? So maybe
tomorrow.
But well, David, it's been an absolute pleasure.
No, thank you, Martin. Same this way.
And obviously, once again, thanks for having me. It's always come, you know, absolutely fantastic to come down here.
Always good to see you.
And yeah, we, of course, to all of our listeners, we hope that you really enjoyed this episode yet once again. And we will be back very, very soon, in usually a couple of weeks' time, with the next episode of the Gestalten Podcast. And we hope you enjoyed the stories and explanations of David Woodhouse, who is currently the VP of Design here at Nissan Design America. David, once again, thank you. And to all of the listeners, enjoy and have a lovely day.